to show you this morning how far this progressive Christianity movement has gone. I want to read from the newspaper a church announcement, Saturday in the church announcements in our Springfield newspaper. It's entitled Bishop Spong, S-P-O-N-G. I'm not familiar with him. Bishop Spong returns to Springfield. Community Christian Church in Springfield was excited to welcome Bishop John Shelby Spong as keynote speaker for a special July weekend. The dates are July 18 through 19. Registration is $60 per person. Please register now. Donate $600 at www.soforth or send a check to Community Christian Church of Springfield, 4806 East Cherry Street, Springfield. Here is the schedule. Saturday, July 18, 6 p.m., welcome and announcements. 6:30 p.m., presentation by Dr. Roger Ray, host pastor, Faith in the 21st Century. Physics, ethics, environment, personal and community spirituality. 7 p.m. Presentation by Bishop Spong. Why Atonement Theology Will Kill Christianity. Sunday, July 19, 9:15 a.m. Clergy Panel on Congregational Transformation for the 21st Century. 10:30 a.m. Bishop Spong preaching, He Did Not Die for Your Sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 6. Jesus, according to Bishop Spong, did not die for your sins. And they call it, beloved people, a Christian church. Does that bother anybody?
Amen.
How many of you here this morning have heard the expression, the age of accountability? That's not everybody, okay. I thought probably so. Some lean toward 12 years old, some 18 or 20. Not much is said about it today, really. I haven't heard it lately. When I was preaching 25, 30 years ago, age of accountability was talked about a lot, particularly when we had Vacation Bible School. I want to look at it together this morning. When a human child is born, it is a joyous occasion. BJ and his wife look forward to some of that happening here pretty quick. The proud parents welcome him or her into the world and life and family. Then hopes and dreams begin to take over. The reality of this new environment for a newborn never truly takes place until the actual realization of this baby's new adaptation to reality. And it comes home to his or her parents. This world is an awful place to be born into. Did you know that? The world in which we live. You say, oh, I was hoping on a positive message. It is a positive message. This world is a terrible place for a child to be born into. All you got to do is look around. All you got to do is read something like this being preached and taught in a Christian church. Amen? What world is this child truly inherited as it enters this world of hate and war and sin? From the safe, warm sanctuary of safety of its mother's womb. You say, preacher, the birth of a child is no time for us to harp on doom and gloom. I say, the sad reality is that doom and gloom awaits every human being born into this world with only one exception. I want to repeat. Many will not agree with this. I want to repeat this. And I stand on God's word when I say it. The sad reality is that doom and gloom awaits every human being born into this world with only one exception. That one exception is found in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. Turn there in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1. Those who have ears to hear this morning, listen to the word of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherewith he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted Christ. Predestination is not preached much anymore. Not preached much anymore. Even though it's found throughout this Bible, it is unpopular because it makes human beings like you and like me realize, if it is in fact true, that we are unable to save ourselves from the wages of sin when we die. We do not like the idea that God is the only one who can save us. He is the only one that can save us from death, let alone an eternity in hell. We are born, you see, in sin. We are born in sin. You say, but preacher, a little child is innocent. Certainly, if a baby dies, he doesn't go to hell. Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. I don't believe a baby does go to hell. But it's only because that particular baby was chosen to be a child of God before the creation of the world. That has nothing to do with the age of accountability. You say, well, the age of accountability, Lou, you were saved when you were 21. That was your age of accountability. No! That's when I accepted Christ. Because before the foundation of the world, God knew he was going to send the Holy Spirit to save me. It's all about God. It's not about us. That's what predestination teaches us, and human beings don't like it. I want to say, I quit cussing. I quit drinking. I. When it's because of Jesus. And what Jesus did. Is that right or wrong? It is not a human choice to be born again. As Jesus told Nicodemus in the 3rd chapter of John's Gospel, it is a spiritual, not a human birth that saves sinners. You may try, but only God and God alone can save you, no matter what your age is, no matter what race you belong to, and no matter what religion you claim. Every human being born since the creation of Adam and Eve is born into sin. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. 3rd chapter, the book of Colossians. I begin my reading with verse 1. If you then be... I wish I could read this to Reverend Spong. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead, and your life, listen to this. Listen to this 3rd verse. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Thank God.
Where in the world would you rather be? When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Because Your life is hid with Christ in God. Don't you see? This applies then, this new creation, this new life, this being born again, if you will, this applies only to born again believers in Jesus Christ. Only those born spiritually have died to the old life. The life of sin and depravity introduced into those born into the human race from Adam and Eve onward. Only those born again by the Spirit of the living God have been resurrected from death unto life and to eternal life in their Savior, who is now seated at the right hand of the Creator of this universe, the one who predestinated his own children. This, of course, raises an important question for each of us this morning. And that question is this. Are you and I truly risen with Christ, or are we just church members? I believe, probably, in their own hearts, many attending these meetings with Fong at this church, these members are just that, church members.
Yes.
I believe over 2/3, according to the numbers published annually by the Southern Baptist Convention, 2/3 of the people sitting in the pulpits of our Southern Baptist Church are simply church members. And when you compare the membership rolls to the attendance rolls, you can come up with no other conclusion. I'm just speaking of Baptists. The scriptures teach very, very clearly and understandably that to be a Christian, at some time in your life, you repented of your life of sin and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to become your Savior. Didn't ask the preacher to pray that for you. You prayed that yourself. Do you hear me? You didn't sign a gospel tract and mail it in. You got on your hands and knees, or you stood there and you said, God, I need help. I cannot go on this way. Forgive me of my sin. And you know what happened? He did! Because he said he would. No man will be turned away. No woman, no boy, no girl who confesses their sin and trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior will be turned away. That's what the Bible says. Amen. These scriptures teach that very, very clearly. The scriptures also insist that when this happened to you, old things began. That didn't just pop. Although I've heard some testimonies where it just happened like that. Kind of happened like that to Paul, didn't it? Paul, why are you persecuting me? I'm not persecuting you. You're going in there and you're putting people in prison that belong to me. You're going in there and okaying the death of Christians. Paul, you are persecuting me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he fell on his knees, didn't he? You think that changed Paul's life? Want to read about it? The scriptures also insist that when this happened to you, old things passed away and everything, that's absolute everything, began to be new. If that has happened to us, then we truly are risen in Christ and seeking then those things that are above what this poor, sin-sick world can offer us. And about all it can offer us, if we're not Christians, is death and hell. And if we are Christians, all this poor old world can offer us is everlasting life. The second verse of Colossians, this is called living a sanctified life. Not much preached on sanctification anymore. Predestination, sanctification have kind of fallen out, and we'd rather talk about ethics, we'd rather talk about environment, we'd rather talk about physics, we'd rather talk about community spirituality, we'd rather tell people that Jesus did not die for their sins. Is that right? There it is. I'll tell you what. Ephesians 1:1-12. We won't go back there, but you know it's there. We read it. Chosen by God himself. Before he spoke the universe into existence. Can you imagine that? I can't even wrap my feeble brain around that. Unexplainable grace extended to sinners like you and like me because a virgin brought a holy child into this world for one reason only. Not to feed 5,000 people, yes he did. Not to raise Lazarus from the dead, yes he did. But he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Seek and save sinners like you and like me. Until Nicodemus, Jesus said in John 3, until Nicodemus, you've been born again, you'll never truly understand. Never truly get to comprehend what God's kingdom really is, let alone be able to enter it. Read it. Read it today. And then thank God if you're a Christian. You won't be able, until you have the spiritual birth, to even grasp. I can just barely grasp the truth. Before he hung the stars in the sky, before he sent the planets in their orbit, before he created anything. He chose his children. Is that what the Bible says? Beloved, I've been a Christian for 55 years this coming July. Aaron, how old are you going to be this July?
August.
Huh?
55 in August.
55. Yeah, August, yeah, right. I was saved just before Aaron was born. My oldest boy, next Saturday, is going to be 60. Anyway, I've been a Christian for 55 years. I understand a lot more about God's kingdom every year that I live. Even better, I have entered God's kingdom because Jesus is the only way I can. Right? Because Jesus is my Savior. You see, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's all about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Explain that. Risen with Christ, aspiring to and learning daily to live the sanctified life. What does that all boil down to? The thing I have the most difficulty with, possibly you don't, but I have the most difficulty with this: dying to self. And if you're not struggling with that, maybe you need Jesus. The third verse of Colossians. I stand here this morning telling you that killing the old man or woman or boy or girl is never easy. I must confess that after 55 years as a child of God, too much of the old lewd court is still there. That is why I need Jesus. Don't you see? The promise found in the third verse keeps me going. For I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. What an amazing statement that is. I'm dead, and thanks be to God's grace, love, and mercy, I am safely hid with the Son in the Creator Himself. Of course, I don't understand. But beloved, I believe it. Because you see, nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible for the one I worship and serve. I want us to turn. You've been patient this morning. I appreciate it. I want us to turn to Romans. You know where I'm going, I know. Randy's already there. Romans chapter 8. I just want to read 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. Beginning with verse 28 in the 8th chapter of Romans, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we know, Paul says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, now listen to this, to them who are called according to his purpose, you see. Not ours, not mine, not yours. His purpose. Called according to his purpose. What was his purpose? Well, he came to seek and save that which is lost. Amen? So, that ought to be our purpose. Amen? For whom he did know, God, the Creator, for whom he did know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's a good Memorial Day message, isn't it? The fourth verse explodes like the blazing sun explodes with the dark storm clouds. When the time of this Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, appears at his second coming. Oh yes, he's coming again. After the promise of the Old Testament prophets, after his first ministry to a lost and dying world, after his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Listen now to this. Found in the book of Acts. First chapter. All these are first chapters. That's interesting. First part of the letter. He gets right to it, doesn't he? Beginning with verse 6. When they therefore were come together, Jesus been raised from the dead, now gathered with his apostles. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, this is an interesting question they pose to the resurrected Lord. Well, will you restore it? Is the kingdom coming back to the Jews? Don't you think that's interesting? The apostles themselves didn't understand. They couldn't really grasp God's eternal plan. You know, the message the Lord Jesus Christ delivers to his anxious disciples in verse 7 of this reading says it all. Now let's start again. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, here it is, and he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. None of your business. None of your business. Whether it is or not. It's all about God's purpose, not yours. Amen? Listen to what he's saying. But ye shall receive power. There is the Spirit. You must be born of the Spirit. Even you got must be born of the Spirit in order to know. In order to know what? In order to know it's God's business, just do what God tells you to do. Lots of books been written about the coming of Jesus. Lots of plans been made. Lots of people waiting on top of mountains and in cabins for Jesus to come. Amen? Not for us to know. Just do what I told you. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? But ye shall receive power. Yes, you sinners. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. See, Nicodemus, what I'm saying? And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and the cloud received him out of sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Read again Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 in your nation, if you have your Bibles open. Read those four verses again. I want to hear it. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'm sorry. Yes. I'm not going to read it. I want you to read it. Verses 1 through 4, Colossians chapter 3, I believe they say. Yes, it is chapter
3. You were raised with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not only things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ's God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Amen and amen. The born-again child of God will appear with Jesus in glory. And you know why? Because God planned it and God predestinated it before the foundation of the world.